This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Yeah, one of my all-time favorites. Bing Crosby sang that. And you know who wrote that song, White Christmas? A Jewish man. Irving Berlin. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on the day before Christmas Eve already, Monday, December 23rd. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Wayne Cruz of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about the war on regulations by Donald Trump in 2019. Did he win that war or did he lose? We're going to tell you about it. And it's been a horrible year for socialism across this world. And we are going to tell you all about it, and we're going to go to different countries and show you just what effect socialism had on the people there. And why are so many people leaving California? Used to be everybody was going there, right? Not anymore. We're going to tell you all about that as well. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, the top 10 worst Christmas traditions. Do you do any of them? You got to listen. Top 10 worst Christmas traditions. By the way, if you have not got your Christmas haircut, guys, let me tell you, get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop, where it's Christmas every day, because the rates are great and you get the best haircut in Tampa Bay, Florida. It's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin, and it's just north of Route 580 on Overcash Drive. Remember, Andrew's Master Barbershop. And while you're trying to remember things, remember our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. Our, OurFreedomWorks.com. Go there. You can listen to any show we have done in recent history, thanks to Big Ed. All our shows are on podcast on there. OurFreedomWorks.com. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. We've been doing this show for a long time. Ed and I were both young when we started this. Now look at us. Listen, we got a lot to talk about today, and I cannot wait for Wayne Cruz. He's a regular contributor to our show. And this thing about regulations and how it affects your pocketbook. So we will be waiting and talking about that. In the meantime, we know that Trump has done well with appointing judges. In fact, he is closing the year by increasing the already transformational impact. Is that a word? Transformative impact. That's what we mean. On the federal judiciary, with 13 of his district court nominees receiving confirmation this month. That's a lot. That brings Trump's total to 102 federal judges this year. 102. And they're all conservative. In fact, he's going out there to that Ninth Circuit Court out west. It used to be so liberal. He's changing it. The Ninth Circuit has been a thorn in his side. And with 10 of his 29 active seats went to the Ninth Circuit Court. All of a sudden, it's going to become a friendly court for him. So this is good news. And you know the most lasting effect of a president are the judges that he has put on the court. It's always the most lasting effect. think of it this way. These guys get on there, many for lifetime tenures. Lifetime tenures. Especially, of course, on the Supreme Court. Now, a lot of this success for Trump is due in part to Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader. He's helped push nominees through the Senate. There was a time when you needed more than just a majority vote, but thanks to the Democrats, they changed that rule. So the Senate only has to get a 51% majority on a vote on a judge to confirm him to the Supreme Court. And the Democrats are the ones that pushed that rule when they had the power. It's come back to haunt them because Trump has put more people on the bench than any other president in the short, based on the short period of time that he's been president. Here's McConnell and what he says about the appointment of judges. He says, "My motto for the remainder of this Congress is leave no vacancy behind." He wants to get them all on there. In the meantime, we are left, are we not, with this impeachment hangover going into Christmas? Is that right? That doesn't sound very much in the spirit. President Trump has mocked Democrats. On Saturday, he was at a Turning Point USA event in West Palm Beach. That's in Florida here. And he said, to quote him, "They had nothing. There is no crime. There is no nothing." He said, "How do you impeach? You had no crime." Even their people said there was no crime. In fact, there's no impeachment. Their own lawyer says there's no impeachment. And there technically might not be, by the way, until they send those stupid documents over to the Senate. Why has Nancy Pelosi put them in the medicine cabinet next to her dentures? I don't understand that anymore. Take both out, put one in your mouth, and not the documents, and march over there to the Senate and hand them over to Mitch. That's what you're supposed to do. Then Mr. Trump turned his focus to the WASP woman, Nancy Pelosi, and called her crazy. Crazy Nancy. Before criticizing her for delaying the process by withholding the articles of impeachment from the GOP-controlled Senate. So he says, the world is watching. She's crazy. She has no case, so let's not submit it. That's what she's thinking. Anyway, so you see what's going on here. And it's kind of sad, you know. I think, I don't know, try to call them like you see them, right? And I'm thinking that the Democrats know they have made a terrible mistake. They know it. Because if Nancy doesn't deliver the documents, technically, the impeachment has never been completed, no matter how they vote. Now, if she's going to wait over Christmas, what are people going to talk about at Christmas dinner? They're going to talk about the fact that for some reason, Nancy Pelosi won't deliver the documents for the trial. Try and win that argument if you're a Democrat. I don't think you're going to. So everyone's going to be talking about all of this over the course. And as we enter 2020, I think the snowball is rolling downhill in Donald Trump's favor. Okay, let us take our break, and we will switch now when we come back. We can talk with Wayne Cruz. Did Donald Trump do a good job fighting regulations?
It's frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. Lights are turned down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus. We are back. And delighted to have back our good friend Wayne Cruz of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, where he is vice president of policy and a senior fellow. And he's written a piece for CEI. What regulations did the Trump administration eliminate in 2019. Wayne, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Oh,
hope you're having a great week.
Oh, I tell you what, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. You're a guy, you're a numbers guy. So let me ask you right up front, Wayne, if you were to score or grade the Donald Trump administration for deregulation in 2019, what grade would you give them?
Well, I would say A, the first year, B, the second year, and maybe C this year. But there's a lot behind that, and there's a lot of things to talk about. This administration has been extremely unique in putting the brakes on the administrative state. And the only reason I say a C this year is because you might recall early on, and this was predictable too, but early on Trump said, okay, for every new regulation, agencies are going to have to get rid of two. And the first year, even though a lot of the regulations weren't some of the biggest things you could imagine, you know, the administration claimed, well, they got rid of 22 regulations for everyone. In the second year, they got rid of 4 regulations for everyone. Unfortunately, in this current year, they weren't quite able to meet the 2-for-1 metric. But obviously, Paul, that's to be expected, because remember, the president, you know, under Obama, he said, I have a pen and phone and I can go around Congress. Trump never purported to go around Congress. His rollbacks of regulation were within the rule of law, which is what we want. And fortunately, acting alone, since Congress will not help, the administration would find it naturally tougher to get rid of rules acting on its own. Because remember, you can't actually get rid of regulations. You can only replace them with a new regulation. That's how the administrative state works. So it becomes very difficult. However, there are a couple of great things that happened this year that I'll be interested to tell you about, but you go ahead.
Okay, well, I just want to, you know, Donald Trump touts the fact that the economy, which indeed, the economy is doing great. Unemployment
absolutely
rate is absolutely, I mean, nobody thought it would be this good. Really, nobody did. And every group, women, minorities, everybody. So, you know, we go into the Christmas season here with such good news. But I want to ask you, realistically, over the past 3 years, how much of that might be attributed, if you can even measure it, to the deregulations that Donald Trump and his administration have imposed?
In a way, I would give a lot of credit to the deregulatory measure, because remember, there's several things that happened. In addition to the two-for-one proposal, what was really going on underlying that, Paul, was the requirement that not so much that you get rid of two regulations for every one, but that net new regulatory costs stay at zero or even go below. So what effectively happened is a freeze on regulation. And that makes a big difference, because remember, while Congress passes a handful of laws every year, a few dozen, the administrative agencies put out thousands. And worse than just their regular rules and regulations, they put out guidance documents and notices, memoranda, and so on down the line. What the Trump administration did primarily, since it is hard to get rid of rules, you have to go through a whole years-long rulemaking process to get rid of the Clean Power Plan or the Waters of the United States rule and things like that. What he did is put a freeze in place, and I think you can attribute a lot of the benefit to the economy to that, because you don't have that uncertainty anymore. There were several executive orders and executive actions related, for example, to permitting. You might remember back in 17 and 18, the president would occasionally pose in an Oval Office or speech setting with, you know, stacks of the Federal Register, you know, the compendium of the rules and regulations with a red tape around it and a pair of scissors. And, you know, the idea was saying, well, we're going to speed up permitting, you know, of bridges, of roads, of energy facilities, open up lands to exploration and so forth. So rather than companies having to sift through and wait for different agencies sequentially to go and approve their permits, they would start the clocks at each all at once, things like that. Mm-hmm. So it got easier to do things. You know, where Obama said you didn't build that, Trump was trying to make things easier to build. And I think that has an effect. So a lot of the deregulatory effects come apart from just the mechanical getting rid of two for every one, but just the kind of the environment in which business finds itself in, and the favorable environment it finds itself in to operate. And I think that makes a big difference.
We are talking with Wayne Cruz. He is from the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute, where he is Vice President of Policy and a senior fellow. Wayne, if you were to be asked, was there one particular sector that benefited more than any other with all of these deregulations, would you be able to put your finger on that?
Well, I think it's been in general. I think manufacturing and energy, for example, benefit from knowing that there's not going to be a lot of new regulatory impositions there. There was a study, a report a year or so ago that the Commerce Department put out looking at rollbacks and talking about the new environment that we're in. And I think it makes a big difference. There are some things, you know, that go in the other direction. Trump does have some interest in bringing up antitrust law or going after tech companies or things of that sort that might cut against the deregulatory sentiment. But by and large, it's something that helps the economy overall. And I think that's reflected in the market, too. I think what he runs into now is just the difficulty of getting rid of rules that are in place, since he has to go through the notice and comment. And Congress just has no interest. I looked like you were talking about the impeachment issue before I came on. And Congress just has no interest in working with the president on anything, even though some deregulatory measures, especially with regard to disclosure and better reporting, should be bipartisan. But they're just not getting in the current environment. So I think there's some things he can still do unilaterally that would help a lot.
Right. Now, Congress, speaking about them, we're going to spend, well over $1 trillion on this new budget. I mean, we've gotten to the point now. But because the economy is doing so well and we have such a high rate of employment, one would presume that more tax money is coming into Washington. And if more tax money was coming into Washington, one would presume we'd be able to pay off some of the things that we spend on. But of course, we're spending, it seems like it's always a green light. The more money we take in, the more we spend. You know that.
Right.
I mean, are we going anywhere? And are we headed for an ultimate disaster with this? Is anybody going to slow the brake on it, on this?
It's a very good point. The thing that concerns me the most is that interest rates are at these historic lows. But boy, if they were to start creeping up again, you would very, very quickly find yourself in a situation where interest payments on the debt exceed the entire defense budget. And that is one reason, Paul, why keeping regulatory liberalization in place and maintaining it matters a lot. It's almost as if the spending budget and the regulatory budget, so to speak, in quotes, go hand in hand, because they're both ways that the federal government does things or intervenes in the economy. You know, on the one hand, right, the federal government is spending and has a $4 trillion a year budget, now, unfortunately, a trillion a year deficit, and a $22 trillion debt now. Gosh, it's up to $23 trillion now. But on the other hand, you've also got the hidden tax of regulation. So you've got, you know, business regulation, environmental regulation, all the paperwork, labor regulation, and so on down the line. You've got those kinds of rules in place, too, that are also affecting the private sector. But it's important that we lay off the regulation, especially while we've got this, I think, a dangerous budget situation, because, you know, Trump had said a couple of years ago, well, I'm not going to sign another budget bill like that, and yet we keep doing it. You know, last year this time, you remember, we had the shutdown of 25% of the federal government. And, you know, the bureaucrats were suffering. They were, you know, some of the IRS employees were talking about the problems they were having. But, boy, a lot of the public didn't notice. And so we were, you know, thinking over here, kind of scratching our heads, well, my gosh, if we can get by without this 25% of the federal government, maybe we ought to be rethinking that other 75% too.
Of course. Absolutely right.
But it is the case, you know, Paul, if, you know, it's great that we're doing regulatory liberalization, but, boy, if we don't get a handle on the spending issue, we really will torpedo these great benefits we're having now.
Yeah, in fact, just to linger on this one more point, you mentioned the interest. It's right, almost approaching our biggest expenditure. I mean, that's how bad things are. It's the interest alone that may do us in. Now, what?
That's right. Paul, it took us from the founding fathers, Ronald Reagan, to get a $1 trillion budget. In, you know, in nominal terms. Now, the deficit is $1 trillion, not the budget, but the deficit is $1 trillion in nominal terms. So it makes you wonder, and I would hope that, you know, somebody's got their foot not on the gas but on the brakes. I'm not seeing it yet, but that's right, what I would hope. I don't mind, you know, pushing things with these shutdowns and thinking very hard about what it is that government is and what it's supposed to do in society and where do we expand it, where do we roll it back. But we don't really have that kind of a debate going on. Things just get pushed through.
Yeah, and finally, I want to get back on the regulation. Donald Trump has always been touting that since these regulations were taking effect, the businesses are actually moving back, as in they left, but now they're coming back. Is there really any truth to that, Wayne?
Well, I haven't looked at that data in particular, but I'll tell you, you were asking a second ago which businesses benefited the most. A lot of the regulatory programs affect business in general across the board, like the labor regulations and so forth. And initially, Trump had rolled back Obama guidance. Now, they weren't even rules, they weren't even laws, on independent contractors and who counted as an employee or not, things like that. And those kinds of rollbacks help across the board, you know, and benefit business across the board. So I think that, you know, that helps a lot. It's not just that we need to deregulate in specific industries. We need to deregulate across the board or liberalize across the board where we can. And also make sure that in new sectors of the economy, the frontier areas, you know, artificial intelligence and robotics and all the newfangled stuff, you know, the Consumer Electronics Show is about to happen in Las Vegas, so we're going to be introducing all these new technologies again, driverless cars, drones, and so forth. The more we can keep government out of those new sectors, the better we can continue to do. And, you know, we always we constantly say here, you don't have to till the grass to grow, you just have to keep the rocks off of it.
Yes.
And I think that's what the federal government needs to focus on.
Well, I tell you, Wayne, you and the Competitive Enterprise Institute are always a watchdog for us. We rely so much on you.
Thank
you. And, you know, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and especially at the end of the year, I want to tell you that. And I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas, and thank you so much. I know we'll be talking to each other in the new year.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas to you, too. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. There he is, Wayne Cruz. All right. We're going to take our little break, and when we come back, Angelo, he of the Connection to the Master Barber, is going to be talking to us from New York State about what is going on between Christmas and New Year's and impeachment and all that kind of crazy stuff. So stay with us.
Is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tan Talk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why don't you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back, and we're in the Christmas spirit, are we not? Geez, 2 days away, and I couldn't think of two better representations of Santa Claus than the brothers Ceresi. We got them both, to my pleasant surprise. Not only do we have Angelo up in New York State, but we've got our buddy Andrew the Master Barber. Welcome to both of you.
Hello.
Merry Christmas, Paul.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Angelo, you too, my friend. Now, let's go to Angelo first. Is it snowing there? Do you feel at all like it's Christmas, Angelo?
Well, we do have a little bit of snow on the ground, but I think it's not going to be a white Christmas like it normally could be, you know?
So it's climate change, and the Democrats will be happy?
Oh, I'm sure they will be.
Oh, that's not good news. That's not good news. So, Andrew, you sound bright and all fluffy and excited. You're back. You're feeling good, my friend?
Paul, I feel like I'm 15 years old again, honest to God.
Really?
Miracles, yes. Today is the first day, you know, tomorrow it'll be a week. And today is the first day I got up and really hardly feeling any pain.
Wow. Now, for those of you that don't always listen to us, Andrew went through some back surgery, and the way it was described to me, I was saying prayers for you, Andrew, but you had a great doctor, and it's almost miraculous. I think you almost jumped off the operating table after the guy was through.
That's what they tell me.
Wow.
But they had me walking, and then about an hour after I came out of it, they had me walking, Paul.
I'll tell you what, you have probably got the best Christmas gift you ever got.
You got it, buddy. Oh, there's no wonderful. Question about that. Okay. I got my legs back.
You do. All right, my friends. Now, we got to... I'm sorry that I have to throw a piece of coal in your stockings, but Nancy Pelosi has decided to put the documents of impeachment up there in her medicine cabinet right next to her false teeth. And I'm very, very upset about this. She's supposed to deliver them over to the Senate. She's breaking all of the rules. And even one of the Democrats they rely on says that there's really no impeachment until the delivery is made. I want to start with you, Angelo. Do you feel like Donald Trump has been impeached?
No. Number one, it's an impeachment if you're impeached for high crimes and treason. When you have being impeached for on party line, you know, nobody else did it, right?
One Republican in the 435-member House of Representatives voted to impeach him. Not one.
Not one. And it has to be the whole House that has to vote to impeach.
They have to get a majority.
The majority of the House has to impeach.
Right.
To be impeached on partisan politics, right, is really not an impeachment. And if I were Donald Trump, I wouldn't even consider it an impeachment, because you know, to be impeached because you're doing your job, because they can't defeat you. I would take that as an honor.
Yeah, Andrew. Donald Trump himself got up in front of one of his many rally crowds and said, "It doesn't feel like I've been impeached. I don't feel like I'm impeached."
He's right. I was reading an article this morning. I don't know how much fact it is, but even Ruth Ginsburg came out of her shell. And she said, even though she hates Donald Trump, the whole impeachment trial that they had in Congress is useless.
Is that what she said?
Yeah, she said court of law, that she would have thrown that case right out.
Wow. Well, then it looks...
Paul, yeah. We're all talking about this impeachment. You know what? We're missing what's really going on here because we're all concentrating on this. Have you been keeping up with the state of Virginia, my friend?
Tell us a little bit about it. Yeah, there's a lot going on over there.
You're not hearing about it, are you? You know, the state of Virginia, they're trying to put in some heavy-duty confiscation laws for guns. You know, it's all a liberal-run Congress
up
there.
Yes, particularly up around Washington, D.C., and then when you get further away go ahead.
Okay, so they're putting in some heavy, heavy laws, and the people are saying, hey, this isn't going on. I think they got like 24 counties in the state of Virginia, and 22 of them now are sanctuary guns, you know, safe zones.
Safe zones, okay.
And, yeah, for guns. And they said that when these laws go into effect, if the police, now the police are already saying, they're not doing it. We're calling the National Guard. National Guard is writing back. We're laying down our arms. I got news for you. Now, I'm telling you, Virginia was a big part of the Revolutionary War, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay, and you know what? It's going to go down there, buddy.
You think
they
so?
They try to do this. I think you're going to see the people go right against the government
war, too.
Okay, let's go to Angela. What were you going to say about that?
It was also part of the Civil War, you know, because Virginia.
Virginia was the heart of the Civil War, yes.
The heart of Dixie.
This is where I'm saying people aren't paying attention to us. It's like we're doing impeachment. It's like the Scooter impeachment stuff. We've got him in the medicine cabinet. You know what? Nobody cares, Paul.
Yeah. You know,
we're going on business as usual, but they're covering up things that are really going on in the back roads, and this is what we got to pay attention to, buddy.
Yeah. I want to say one thing, because you bring up a very interesting point, Andrew. And we're talking, by the way, with Andrew the Master Barber and his wonderful brother, Angelo. Andrew's here, Florida. And Angelo, for some reason, you want to stay in that liberal state in New York. I don't understand it, but... we'll just allow it. Let's just put it that way.
I'm trying to take it over. I'm trying to get the Republicans over here again.
Oh, well, keep fighting the good fight. Okay, so Andrew mentions the gun-free zones. I was watching C-SPAN over the weekend, and there was a black conservative, and I wish I remember his name, but he has put out a book basically talking about the wonderful things that Donald Trump has done. And he goes to mention that 90% of the handgun murders in this country, 90%, occur in gun-free zones. And what he means by that, inner cities where there are all of these gun laws that do not allow these people to go wandering around carrying the guns, but they do so anyway. in these inner cities. And that is something that a liberal does not want to talk about. Right, Andrew?
No, they don't want to talk about it, Paul, but you're right. Look at Chicago. They're supposed to have the strictest gun laws in the country.
They do, right.
Look at the, what they have, 50 shootings a week there.
It's absolutely horrible.
It's very simple. The old saying is, when guns are outlawed, all the outlaws will have guns, Paul.
Yeah.
It's simple. It's not hard to understand. They're trying to take our guns away, and when that starts happening, we're going to be like every other country in this world. And if we give it up, we're crazy.
Yeah. We're going to talk a little later in the show about the effects of socialism around the world. I got a very good piece, and believe it or not, it's from Bloomberg News. But a guy wrote us, and we're going to give him credit when we talk about it. But I think all of this plays into the same pot. When you want to take people's guns away, and you want to control their lives, and you want to make them stand in line and march to your tune. And I look at all of these Democrats up on that stage, especially people like Elizabeth Warren, about, you know, we're going to do this for you, and we're going to do that for you. We're going to do this for you. All we want you to do is to allow us to be able to take this money out of the tax pot and do this, that, and the other thing. And, boy, that scares me more than anything. Angelo, you feel that way?
Yes, because last night I was watching Ken Starr. He was a former federal judge. He was the U.S. Solicitor General at one time. And he was also the
Yes, he was the guy that was the special prosecutor in the Bill Clinton impeachment.
He was stating that last night that Nancy Pelosi actually took control of the whole Congress and kind of like grabbed it away from everybody else and is twisting arms to all these moderate Democrats and everything else. And she actually seized control by doing what she's doing. And, you know, and turning the impeachment over to Shifty Schiff over there. And
Adam Schiff.
And Nadler.
Jerry Nadler.
Jerry Nadler, that what they did is they went against all the rules of democracy in our country, how you have a trial and everything else, where the president didn't have his say or anything.
Yeah. Well, Andrew, some people think that Nancy Pelosi, as the Speaker of the House, is actually losing control, not trying to gather control because
the far left groups are forcing
her impeachment hand. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do, definitely. It's the Mod Squad there. The way to the left Democrat Party, buddy, they're in charge of what's going on there. Nancy Pelosi is their puppet. But as my brother said, now Pelosi was telling all these, they called them, I guess, the ninth graders, all the new people that were in there.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
doing as ninth we grade. Are. You are doing as we tell you what you're going to do, or you have nothing going to happen for you in this Democrat Party anymore if you don't vote what I tell you.
So, I'm sure that they told her that, you know, and you know, like Ken Starr said, 19 minutes after the president was sworn in, they started the impeachment process.
Yeah, but you
talking about impeachment and everything else.
As we
you had that Rashid, whatever her name is,
Rashid Tlaib.
Tlaib taken. We're going to impeach the mother effer, you know.
Yeah. She said that she was also. Did you know there's a tape of her disrupting some sort of get together and getting arrested before?
Oh, yeah.
She looks like a complete loon.
Well, they are. You got Ocasio-Cortez. You got the other one, all four of them, the squad.
You know, we can moan and complain about these people all we want. We need to moan and complain about the people that put them in office.
Well, the same thing. You know, they think us deplorables, they're blaming us for putting Trump in.
Mm-hmm.
You're
good. That's all right. Be proud of it. Let them blame us.
Well, you know, the thing is that all this stuff, I think the American people are no dummies.
47% of them are. I disagree with you.
Well,
hey, I can't believe it. We have a sibling rivalry right on my wonderful show. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I've got 47% of them are dummies.
Angelo,
the proof
is
in the packaging.
Go ahead,
Angelo. Defend that one, brother.
Oh.
I love it.
I'll tell you what, you guys. And we're at the end of the year here, and I just want to say really sincerely how much I love having both of you on the show, how much you mean to me, and really how much you mean to the show. And I am really, really looking forward to what we're all going to be able to be talking about as we come into 2020. So to Angelo and to Andrew, thank you both so very much. I consider you dear friends.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it so much.
Paul, thank you, and Merry Christmas to you and Big Ed back there. And you know what? Merry Christmas. God bless America, and God bless Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
Absolutely right. Couldn't be said better. Thanks, guys.
Looking forward. All right, buddy. Be good.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There they go. They had their Santa Claus outfits on while they were talking. They're two great guys. Okay. We're going to take our break. And we're going to talk, not only are we going to talk socialism, but I want to talk about this Saturday football game we had. Our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers played in a rather interesting game. We're going to talk it over with our sports expert, Big Ed.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
The people who care at Peninsular Exterminating Incorporated in Lakeland would like to take this special time out to recognize and salute the men and women in uniform who are standing tall for our political and economic freedoms around the globe. Let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. That message was courtesy of your good friends at Peninsular Exterminating Incorporated in Lakeland. They're always keeping our community moving in a positive direction, and they're on the air because they care.
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on the day before Christmas Eve already. Have you done all your shopping? Boy, I was out there the other day, and it's a busy place. So I think the box stores are going to have a good year, at least for Christmas. But probably more over the internet shopping than ever before. I bet you they will break the record for all of that. Ed, do you do any Christmas shopping? Have you done any?
I do, but I don't go near the malls this time of year, you know, unless I absolutely have to. I have to say I've done more shopping online than ever before.
Yeah.
Because it's right there, and it's usually cheaper or the same price.
Yeah.
And you don't need it right away. 2 days is fine with me, so
yeah,
I'm tearing up Amazon.
And I think everybody else is, too. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. Okay.
What the heck?
Yeah. So
something did good. I know you're going to bring up the Bucks, but something did happen that was good this weekend.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in just a second. I want to talk real quickly, because we're running short, about California. The Golden State is in the slow lane. You know, it used to be the state where everybody says, gee, let's move to California. You know, we got Hollywood, and we got San Francisco, and we got the ocean, and it's glamorous. And well, the number of Californians increased to about 40 million people. Can you imagine 40? That's more than most countries, right? But fewer births, increased death among the aged, and all of these people that have money are pulling out. And one of the reasons they're pulling out is regulations, and the other is the cost of living and the cost of homes there. It's not a good sign. It's like all of these places on the, maybe here in the Northeast, where people with money go, you know what? I got money and I'm paying up the wazoo in taxes. Why am I staying here? And they move. And the same thing is going on in Florida. One of these days, you're going to understand. They're going to understand what's going on. Part of it is socialism, which brings us to the other thing I wanted to talk about. It's been a very bad year to be any kind of a socialist around the world. The decline has been long and agonizing for a once very dominant force in Europe. Socialism was very big in Europe. But look at what's going on now. In Britain, voters were turned off by the Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn's promises of a socialist utopia revolution. And the country is on the brink of leaving the European Union, which in many ways is a very socialistic philosophy, you know, where you group countries together and we're going to get you the same kind of currency and coin, and we're all going to think alike, and we're all going to be the same with trades and tariffs and everything else. Well, that's not the way it is in Britain anymore. Scotland wandered away from that concept a long time ago. Germany. Now, Germany, working class voters have been abandoning those parties whose reason for being was to protect them. Blue-collar workers are switching sides over there. And, you know, Germany's always been an industrial country to begin with. But like in other parts of Europe, their Social Democratic Party has struggled to find the antidote for a tidal wave of anti-immigration sentiment and to stop the Greens sopping young, environmentally conscious voters. Then you've got France. Now, look at France is always considered a socialist country. But when it comes to a plunge in popularity, few leaders can better François Hollande, I guess you pronounce it. He's the most reviled president they ever had there, and he's far left. His socialists are on life support right now. Italy, political fluidity is another challenge, especially in parts like Italy. It explains how the center-left has changed its name. It's just some people don't remember what it used to be called. Now it's calling itself the Democratic Party and trying to build up its rebuild its support base. But everything is going wrong with socialism in Italy. Spain and Portugal are the same ways. They're up there, you know, in that peninsula there. Both of those countries are just losing credibility and having a miserable time of it with socialism. Greece has gone bankrupt under socialist policies. We're going to talk more about socialism and its effects as we in 2020. We're going to make that one of the highlights of what we're talking about. But I want to talk very briefly about this. Turning to sports, here our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They got one game left, Ed. I believe it's a home game. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk about it was kind of tough on Saturday. They played a game. Tell us a little bit about that, and then do we have a bright future?
Well, I don't know. You saw this movie before you got in your seat. They were down 10-0.
Yes.
On the first play of the game.
He did what he always does.
Jameis threw a pick for 6 points.
Yes. I hadn't even sat down.
Back,
and it was already
got the ball back and threw another pick that would have been returned for 6. But there was a penalty. Before you sat down, we were down 10 points.
Could have been 14-0.
He winds up, and they made a game of it. But still, I mean, people say, well, at least they came back. Yeah, but take 10 points off, guess who wins? That he gave up. So play another week. Please go out and throw another 3 picks against the Falcons, and we can say bon voyage.
So is that the good thing? Because throwing the picks, we're going to get a new quarterback?
After the pick six, I said, let's go for 4 interceptions. He'll get the record next week if he throws 2. He'll get the record.
So we're going to root for that?
Yes.
Okay.
And get him out.
And by the way, are you going to be at the game? We're going to be hosting the Falcons.
Yes.
Okay. And that'll be it.
That's it.
Okay. Let us go to, this is going to be, by the way, our final show before Christmas. So we want to highlight in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 worst Christmas traditions. You may have an argument with it, Ed.
Okay.
And I have an argument with some of these, but it's one person's opinion. It comes from the top10s.com. So here we go. Number 10. Doing Secret Santa at work. You know what that means?
Yeah.
You know, you get grab bag gifts, right?
Yeah, whatever.
And you never get the gift you want. Somebody else opens a gift. You go, gee, I wish I had got that gift.
If you put a spending limit on it, it's not bad.
True. But, you know, there's always some envy and jealousy. Yeah. And maybe you get a gift from the person you hate the most there, yeah, too, at the place.
And they spent a dollar at the dollar store.
Yes, they do. Number 9. Strange colored Christmas trees.
Yeah, I'm always for green. I don't like the white.
I agree. Now, actually, white isn't it as bad as the pink and the red and the silver trees.
I've not seen those.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. I don't like them at all. But yeah, I agree with you. Let's go natural. Number 8. Giving underwear as a legitimate Christmas gift. Underwear. Underwear is a basic necessity. It's one step up from toilet paper. Not something you should give as a gift. That's what
you mean to a spouse or somebody?
Well,
why is it okay for women to give you a rake or a blower or something like that, but if you dare buy her a vacuum, you're in trouble?
Yes. That should be on here.
Yeah.
Okay, number 7. Decorating your place with white lights and minimal color. You know where you go by?
Yeah.
There's nothing but white lights. That's it. What do you think?
Oh, just white lights?
Well,
no.
It's boring.
I think white lights, because those icicle ones are all white.
Yes.
If you have color behind them, that's different.
Yeah.
So.
But the point of Christmas is decorating and color.
Yeah.
Is it not?
Yeah, but white lights are okay as long as you have colored.
Well, actually, you're right. But this guy is just saying, you know, it looks too bland and boring.
Okay.
Number 6. Ridiculously extended holiday sales events.
Oh, yeah, it won't stop until...
Well, they won't.
Probably won't stop till Easter.
Correct. It never stops, actually.
Post-Christmas sale.
Yeah. And everybody understands.
Mm-hmm.
You're just playing games.
Yeah.
Okay, number 5. Listening to modern Christmas songs like All I Want for Christmas Is You and one called Last Christmas. You ever heard those?
I played Last Christmas.
Do you like it?
Yes, I do.
I do, too.
The Wham song, like Last Christmas. That's Wham. I like that.
Yeah, okay. Number 4. Going on vacation over Christmas. He says that this is a bad deal.
Depends on where you live.
He says, stay home with the family. Don't be in airports. Okay, fair enough. Number 3. Taking awkward family photos for cards. You've gotten them. I've gotten them.
Well,
not always awkward. And sometimes they're very nice, but every once in a while they'll dress in stupid-looking costumes.
It's just ego.
Yeah, of course it is. Okay, number 2. Fruitcake. Christmas fruitcake. Either giving it away, getting it, eating it.
It's fun to throw at each other.
You can throw it at each other.
Especially the one you don't like.
No need to explain that one any further. Okay, number 1. Worst Christmas tradition. Decorating your tree on Christmas Eve. In other words...
Oh, yeah, what's the point?
How long do you get to enjoy the tree if you decorate it on Christmas Eve? Well, you're giving yourself one night before Christmas?
Yeah.
You want your tree to be sitting there looking nice for at least, what, a couple of weeks, right?
There's another tradition I don't like.
What's
that? It's usually not here. It's England.
What's that?
Is if you happen to have a girlfriend with English parents, they take the tree down the next day.
Do they really?
Yes.
Party
I came
poopers.
Home, I was ticked off. Boy.
Party
Where's the tree?
Poopers.
I'm going back.
Merry Christmas, everybody. We will be back on Friday. Be safe. Bye for now.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Bolton goes public. Faith over fear. I'm Michael Toscano. The U.S. is closely monitoring North Korea with a provocation either in policy or weapons testing expected soon from Kim Jong-un.